At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Dave Gill Chevrolet, we have back-to-school savings all month long. Check out our incredible selection of the latest Chevrolet models, including the rugged Silverado, the versatile Trax, and the stylish Equinox. We pride ourselves on exceptional customer service and unbeatable deals. So what are you waiting for? Visit us online at DaveGillChevy.com or stop by our dealership at 4700 East Broad Street in Columbus. Dave Gill Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. See dealer for complete details.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
Ever get the feeling that, like, some of the juiciest nightmare neighbor stories, they aren't actually about, barking dogs or fences over property lines? It's something deeper.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, way more profound, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, today's deep dive, it's taking us there. We've got this letter, and honestly, it stuck with me. This listener, their experience, it's way beyond typical neighborhood drama, right?
Right.
It cuts to the heart of what community even means, especially when things get rough.
Yeah, the dynamics of community, especially during hardship, it's incredibly complex. In this case, it's really fascinating.
This family, they were like deeply embedded in their neighborhood. Backyard barbecues, kids always playing together, yep. Even that whole borrowing a cup of sugar closeness. But then the dad loses his job, their financial situation changes, and it's like, boom, the whole neighborhood vibe just shifts.
It's interesting, right? Because that idea of belonging, being part of a close-knit group, that's fundamental. We crave that as humans.
Absolutely.
But it's worth noting, these idyllic-seeming communities, a lot of times they function on these unspoken rules.
Yeah.
And a lot of times those rules tied to, like, perceptions of success or where you stand socially.
Okay, so you're saying there's more beneath the surface of, like, the BDQs and the kids playing. Because the letter, at first, it paints this very rosy picture, everyone helping out, celebrating milestones.
Sure.
But maybe it wasn't as perfectly balanced as it seemed.
Yeah. It's a really good point. The letter mentions gift exchanges, big celebrations for life events. Mm. Were those always equal exchanges? Or was there, even subconsciously, a pressure to, I don't know, keep up appearances?
It makes you think about that whole keeping up with the Joneses thing. Maybe there was that element, and then when the dad loses job, suddenly it disrupts this unspoken balance.
Right.
Which isn't to say it's the family's fault, ATL, but I'm seeing how those good old days might have more layers than we realize at first.
Exactly. And human relationships, they're rarely simple. Communities. They just magnify that complexity.
It's like this family's hardship. Maybe it accidentally revealed some cracks that were already there, just hidden.
It's possible, yeah.
And that leads us to what happened next, which is, well, the letter describes a pretty heartbreaking withdrawal by these neighbors. It's like they all slowly start to disappear. I mean, you can't blame the letter writer for feeling betrayed, right? This wasn't just like some casual acquaintance. These were their friends, the people they hung out with all the time.
Oh, absolutely. Their feelings are completely valid. But as with, I don't know, any complex social situation, I think it's always helpful to consider different perspectives, not to excuse any behavior, but just to add some nuance.
So maybe there's more to the story than just like bad neighbors being inconsiderate.
Right. For some of these neighbors, especially those who maybe haven't experienced serious financial hardship, it's possible they genuinely felt lost. Like, they didn't know how to act, how to navigate the situation, especially when there was that history, you know, of these seemingly equal exchanges like we talked about.
Yeah, I get that. It's like, how do you offer help without it coming across as condescending, especially with those unspoken rules that were already in place?
Exactly. And it's easy to overthink it, right? Will they be offended if I offer to mow their lawn now? Or is bringing over a casserole going to seem insensitive? That kind of thing. But then that fear of getting it wrong,
yeah,
it just leads to inaction.
And silence. Which, reading the letter, that seems to have been the hardest part for them. The family, they did try to reach out in their own way and just not nothing.
Mm-hmm. And that brings us to another point. Sometimes support IS offered, but it's just not in a way that the person going through it really needs or recognizes as helpful.
Right. Like maybe a neighbor offered to watch their kids, which is great. But what they were really stressed about was making rent that month. Or someone offered kind words when what they really needed was help with car repairs so they could get to job interviews.
Exactly. So those gestures, even when they come from a good place, they don't actually line up with the person's real needs. And that can actually make that feeling of being misunderstood even worse.
And I feel like there's this other layer to it too, right? Like this whole thing about how social dynamics can change when someone experiences a financial hardship, even in a close community.
Oh, absolutely. It's a tough thing to talk about, but money, even in a close-knit group, it can create these invisible barriers, even when no one intends for it to.
So maybe there's this subconscious fear, even if it's unfounded, that somehow, I don't know, the struggles are contagious or something.
Yeah, it's a sad reality, but it happens. Suddenly there's this unspoken difference, a shift in that perceived social hierarchy we talked about before.
Man, it makes you realize how fragile those bonds of community can be, you know? If one family's hardship, if that's all it takes to unravel years of closeness, it makes you wonder how strong those connections really were in the first place.
It's a good point. And that actually makes the ending of this letter all the more fascinating to me. Because for all the pain and the disillusionment they describe, it ends on a surprisingly hopeful note.
That's true. They talk about how they've started to lean on their family more, finding new connections and stuff, and really trying to hold on to those good memories that they do have.
Exactly. And to me, that suggests some serious resilience. They're not letting themselves get stuck dwelling on the neighbors who turned away. They've accepted this situation for what it is, grieved the loss of that idealized community, and are out there building new support systems.
Which, when you really think about it, is a powerful thing to do in itself. It would be so easy to just become totally cynical, shut down completely.
For sure. They've reframed the narrative, shifted their focus to the people who are showing up. And I think that's a really important takeaway for all of us.
Yeah, like strong support systems, they don't always look the way we expect them to.
Absolutely. It's not always about living on the same street or those picture-perfect barbecues. It's about actively seeking out and nurturing connections with people who get it, people who show up no matter what.
And sometimes that means looking beyond our immediate circle, being open to finding community in unexpected places.
Definitely. It's about being proactive.
Which, I guess, that brings up a pretty big question, doesn't it? The letter writer, they were obviously let down by their neighbors. But what if, and just hear me out here, what if even one person had acted differently? Just one. What if one neighbor had really stepped up in a tangible, meaningful way?
That's a really interesting question.
Could one person making one different choice, could that have changed everything for this family? I mean, it makes you think.
It really does. Because think about it. Social cues, even subtle ones, they're so powerful.
Yeah.
What if instead of those averted glances, someone had just smiled, like a genuine smile, and asked, how are you guys really doing? Or instead of silence, what if they'd offered to pick up groceries one week? Or said, hey, I'm driving your kids around anyway, just toss them in with mine.
Right, like even small things.
Even small things can make someone feel seen, you know?
It's almost like seeing one person reach out, it gives other people permission to do the same.
Totally. It breaks that ice, that fear people have of overstepping or not saying the right thing.
This whole letter, we've been calling it a nightmare neighbor situation, but it's almost more about the neighbors who weren't nightmares. They just, I don't know, they didn't rise to the occasion.
And that's where I think the real learning is for all of us. Because community, it's not this passive thing. It's not just about living near people, showing up to the occasional BBQ. It's active. It's a choice to engage, to show up, especially when it's hard, when it's awkward, or you're not sure what to say.
You're so right. It makes you think about all the times we've held back from reaching out, you know, because we were afraid or unsure what good it would do.
Exactly. So this is the question I think we all have to ask ourselves going forward. What kind of community members do we want to be? Are we bringing the casserole, offering the metaphorical lawnmower? Are we the ones lending an ear or letting those chances pass us by?
This deep dive, wow. We started with this one family's experience, but it's really opened up so much more. Social dynamics, resilience, what it actually means to have a community that functions.
It's a reminder that sometimes the most important stories aren't the loud ones. It's about those silences and finding a way to bridge them.
So to that letter writer, and to anyone out there listening who's felt that same sting of isolation, maybe the challenge is to be a little less afraid of the awkward silences. Choose connection, even when it's tough. Because kindness, even in small doses, that's how strong communities are built. You never know. You reaching out just that one time could be the thing that changes everything.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.